Chapter 110. Together for some few moments, and then Tiffy looked out at the door and beckoned me in.
Oh, apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Jorkins. Apostrophe, Mr. Tiffy and myself, Mr. Copperfield, are about to examine the desks, the drawers, and other such repositories of the deceased, with the view of sealing up his private papers and searching for a will. There is no trace of any elsewhere. It may be as well for you to assist us, if you please. Apostrophe, I had been in agony to obtain some knowledge of the circumstances in which my door would be placed, as in whose guardianship, and so forth, and this was something towards it. We began the search at once, Mr. Jorkins unlocking the drawers and desks, and we all taking out the papers. The office papers we placed on one side, and the private papers, which were not numerous, on the other. We were very grave, and when we came to a stray seal, or pencil case, a ring, or any little article of that kind which we associated personally with him, we spoke very low. We had sealed up several packets, and were still going on dustily and quietly, when Mr. Jorkins said to us, applying exactly the same words to his late partner as his late partner had applied to him. Apostrophe, Mr. Spenlow was very difficult to move from the beaten track. You know what he was. I am disposed to think he had made no will. Apostrophe, oh, I know he had. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said one. They both stopped and looked at me. On the very day when I last saw him, apostrophe, said I, he told me that he had, and that his affairs were long since settled. Apostrophe, Mr. Jorkins and old Tiffy shook their heads with one accord. That looks unpromising, apostrophe, said Tiffy. Very unpromising, apostrophe, said Mr. Jorkins. Surely you don't doubt, apostrophe, I began. My good Mr. Copperfield. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tiffy, laying his hand upon my arm, and shutting up both his eyes as he shook his head. If you had been in the Commons as long as I have, you would know that there is no subject on which men are so inconsistent, and so little to be trusted. Apostrophe, why, bless my soul, he made that very remark. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I replied persistently. I should call that almost final, apostrophe, observed Tiffy. My opinion is no will. Apostrophe, it appeared a wonderful thing to me, but it turned out that there was no will. He had never so much as thought of making one, so far as his papers afforded any evidence, for there was no kind of hint, sketch, or memorandum of any testamentary intention whatever. What was scarcely less astonishing to me was that his affairs were in a most disordered state. It was extremely difficult, I heard, to make out what he owed, or what he had paid, or of what he died possessed. It was considered likely that for years he could have had no clear opinion on these subjects himself. By little and little it came out that, in the competition on all points of appearance and gentility then running high in the Commons, he had spent more than his professional income, which was not a very large one, and had reduced his private means, if they ever had been great, which was exceedingly doubtful, to a very low ebb indeed. There was a sale of the furniture and lease at Norwood. And Tiffy told me, little thinking how interested I was in the story, that, paying all the just debts of the deceased, and deducting his share of outstanding bad and doubtful debts due to the firm, he wouldn't give £1,000 for all the assets remaining. This was at the expiration of about 6 weeks. I had suffered tortures all the time, and thought I really must have laid violent hands upon myself, when Miss Mills still reported to me that my broken-hearted little Dora would say nothing when I was mentioned. But oh, poor Papa! Oh, dear Papa! Apostrophe also, that she had no other relations than two aunts, maiden sisters of Mr. Spenlow, who lived at Putney, and who had not held any other than chance communication with their brother for many years. Not that they had ever quarreled, Miss Mills informed me, but that having been, on the occasion of Dora's christening, invited to tea, when they considered themselves privileged to be invited to dinner, they had expressed their opinion in writing that it was better for the happiness of all parties that they should stay away, since which they had gone their road, and their brother had gone his. These two ladies now emerged from their retirement, and proposed to take Dora to live at Putney. Dora, clinging to them both, and weeping, exclaimed, "Oh yes, aunts, please take Julia Mills and me, and Jip to Putney." So they went, very soon after the funeral. How I found time to haunt Putney, I am sure I don't know, but I contrived, by some means or other, to prowl about the neighborhood pretty often. Miss Mills, for the more exact discharge of the duties of friendship, kept a journal, and she used to meet me sometimes on the common, and read it, or if she had not time to do that, lend it to me. How I treasured up the entries, of which I subjoin a sample. Monday. My sweet D still much depressed. Headache. Called attention to J as being beautifully sleek. D fondled J associations thus awakened, opened floodgates of sorrow. Rush of grief admitted. Are tears the dewdrops of the heart? J. M. Tuesday. D weak and nervous. Beautiful in pallor. Do we not remark this in moon likewise? J. M. D. J. M. and J took airing in carriage. J looking out of window, and barking violently at dustman, occasioned smile to overspread features of D of such slight links, as chain of life composed. J. M. Wednesday. D comparatively cheerful. Sang to her, as congenial melody, evening bells. Effect not soothing, but reverse. D inexpressibly affected. Found sobbing afterwards, in own room. Quoted verses respecting self and young gazelle, ineffectually. Also referred to patients on monument. Kai. Why on monument? J.M. Thursday. D certainly improved. Better night. Slight tinge of damask revisiting cheek. Resolved to mention name of D. C introduced same, cautiously, in course of airing. D immediately overcome. Oh, dear, dear Julia. Oh, I have been a naughty and undutiful child. Soothed and caressed. Drew ideal picture of D.C. on verge of tomb. D again overcome. Oh, what shall I do, what shall I do? Oh, take me somewhere. Much alarmed. Fainting of D and glass of water from public house. Poetical affinity. Checkered sign on doorpost. Checkered human life. Alas. J. M. Friday. Day of incident. Man appears in kitchen, with blue bag, for ladies' boots left out to heel. Cook replies, no such orders. Man argues point. Cook withdraws to inquire, leaving man alone with J. On cook's return, man still argues point, but ultimately goes. J missing. D distracted. Information sent to police. Man to be identified by broad nose, and legs like balustrades of bridge. Search made in every direction. No J. D weeping bitterly, and inconsolable. Renewed reference to young gazelle. Appropriate, but unavailing. Towards evening, strange boy calls. Brought into parlor. Broad nose, but no balustrades. Says he wants a pound, and knows a dog. Declines to explain further, though much pressed. Pound being produced by D takes cook to little house, where J alone tied up to leg of table. Joy of D who dances round J, while he eats his supper. Emboldened by this happy change, mention DC upstairs. D weeps afresh, cries piteously, oh, don't, don't, don't. It is so wicked to think of anything but poor papa. Embraces J and sobs herself to sleep. Must not D.C. confine himself to the broad pinions of time? J.M., Miss Mills and her journal were my sole consolation at this period. to see her, who had seen Dora, but a little while before to trace the initial letter of Dora's name through her sympathetic pages, to be made more and more miserable by her were my only comforts. I felt as if I had been living in a palace of carts, which had tumbled down, leaving only Miss Mills and me among the ruins. I felt as if some grim enchanter had drawn a magic circle round the innocent goddess of my heart, which nothing indeed, but those same strong pinions, capable of carrying so many people over so much, would enable me to enter. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.